What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's off and running on this nice fall Tuesday. Actually, it's going to be in the upper 70s, so it'll be really
79
really,
is what I saw.
Really nice day here in the mid-state. Darren McFarland, that's me. Chase McCabe.
That's me.
That's him. Max Herz back in the saddle.
Hi, Max.
He was on assignment yesterday. Not sure what the assignment was, but he was just on assignment. Ryan Porth filling in yesterday. Max, welcome back.
Thank you.
In very short, can we say your assignment or no? Just leave it
I was at a wedding
parts
in Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Parts unknown.
But I don't now think it was know. A big deal. It was
okay. Did you have fun?
Yeah. Did you not know where I was?
No, I honestly didn't. I had no idea.
It was a big secret, but now everyone knows.
Was Kyle Allen at the wedding?
No. They were in London.
He's kind of a big deal. You're right. They were in London. He's kind of a big deal now.
Yeah, but he's not going to start anymore.
I don't know about that. We'll see. They've got kind of a... I wouldn't want to be Ron Rivera, because I get it. Like,
I would. I'd be fine being Ron Rivera, because it'd be easy for me.
I don't think so. It's easier. It's easy from your seat. It's not easy from his seat. Because I know what you're going to say. Oh, Kyle Allen's winning. Now he's undefeated. I mean, so you can just go. Right. And then you've got this monstrosity of an ego that's taken you to a Super Bowl, who's been an MVP, and you're just going to tell him, yeah, Cam, look, I'm the coach. You just deal with it, man, and just sit and wait.
But Cam wasn't playing that great before he got hurt.
Right,
anyway.
But it's, like I said, it's real easy from your seat. It's not an easy decision for him because you don't want to lose your team. You don't want to or have a divide or have weirdness. Well, Cam could disrupt a room.
Right.
He's kind of a big personality.
Could it not disrupt a room if he says, hey, Cam's our quarterback, and you got guys going, we're winning. We weren't winning.
I don't know. I mean, remember, most of these guys have all played with Cam Newton. He's been there a long time.
I understand.
Allen's, what, 5-0 since he's been the starter?
Yep.
Going back to one game last year and the four this year, right?
Yep.
And that is still a small body of work. It's good, but it's a small body of work. These guys are probably, most of that room is not only, you know, pro Cam, they're like buds with Cam.
Right.
They've been through all the wars with Cam Newton. So Ron Rivera has to massage this big time. And I don't have a clue how he's going to do it other than, I guess he's going to go back to Cam Newton, but it is going to be interesting. What if Cam looks like crap? Or they lose. But then that makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah,
but I'm saying right now, it's not easy. Like, I understand what you're thinking, but it is not that easy to just come in and be like, hey, Cam, I'm sorry, man. Love you, man. But, hey, Kyle's winning. You just have to take a back seat. Yeah, and then Cam Newton's like,
Well, it's happened before.
Hello, I'm Cam Newton.
Right.
I'm the face of the franchise.
And I know that he is a different type of personality that you have to deal with. So I get all that. But... you know, the old adage of you can't lose your spot due to injury. I don't think that's true anymore. But you're right. He's probably going to go back to Cam Newton, and then we'll see how it works out. But, you know, I think there are a couple of teams right now that, you know, have had the backup quarterback come in, and they've had more success than they probably thought they were going to have, and Carolina's one of them.
That's what I said yesterday on the show. You know, I'm just – why can't that happen here? Like, why don't we ever have a Kyle Allen story? This is an undrafted guy. Okay, we all watched Kyle Allen in college, and none of us were going, that guy's going to win on Sundays. You watch. That right. guy's going to win. No. Zero. If you said that, you're Pinocchio, okay? Your nose just hit Murfreesboro, unless you're in Murfreesboro. Okay, you're lying. Okay, nobody said that. Said no one. This guy's going to win games on Sundays. But yet, here he is. We're talking about him. He's 5-0. Devlin Hodges was the fourth-string quarterback for Pittsburgh. Fourth string! They traded Dobbs away. They brought him back. And now he goes into L.A. and wins a game. I'm just saying, why can't that happen here? Like, why doesn't that story ever happen here? Honestly, yeah. The best one we've had is probably Billy Volek. And it wasn't to a great degree. Billy Volek is, it was like nobody knew, and he's the backup. And then all of a sudden he got a chance, and it was like, whoa.
Right. Okay.
Now, they didn't do a whole lot of winning. They weren't very good, but he was lighting it up. I mean, remember that patch of him and Drew Bennett was like a three-week window of was the best in the league.
And then was it the next year that they traded him?
Jeff Fisher said he was the biggest cancer in the room, which was the biggest joke ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because they had drafted Vince Young, they signed Kerry Collins, and so I think Billy Volek felt disrespected, which I guess I understand because he had been there.
I think Jeff didn't like the fact that Billy Volek was friends with people in the media.
Yeah.
I don't think he liked that.
Is that so? That's how it was?
Jeff will never admit that, but I'm telling you, I believe, because it was the biggest farce ever. I mean, for him, Pac-Man Jones was in that locker room.
Right.
And for him to say Billy Volek was the biggest cancer in that room, give me a break. Anybody met Billy Volek? Cancer in a room? He's one of the nicest people you ever meet. Give me a break. I don't think he liked the fact that Billy was friends with people in the media. And I think he felt like Billy was telling the media stuff. And Jeff likes to keep everything. He wants his message.
Right. Well, a lot of head coaches are that way.
Oh, well, most are that way.
Yeah. I think Nick Saban would probably.
Well, no, there's a long line of coaches like that. But I'm just saying that's what was going on here.
I just remember the press conference when they traded him, and Jeff said something to the effect, I can't remember what it was, that Billy had said in a meeting, or he goes, that didn't sit well with me. And so it was like, okay, well, here we are. And then it was Vince Young, Kerry Collins. I guess those were the only two. So,
Detroit got jobbed last night.
Yeah, they did.
They got jobbed. That was bad. And look, I'm just going to, for Freddie Kitchens and Baker Mayfield and a buddy of mine who's a huge Browns fan that complains on a regular basis on why they're not winning and blames it on the refs, just like the head coach and the quarterback. Just watch. Are you watching NFL? Are you watching NFL football games? As I've told him and others, there's bad calls every game, every week. Like, really bad calls. It's not just your team. It's not just your favorite player. It's everybody. And I don't have a clue if Detroit would have come back and won or not. I have no idea if Matthew Stafford
leads them. Well, they were leading.
Well, yeah, but they don't. My point is that the drive is over. They kicked the field goal, and there's still like a minute 20 left. So I don't know if Detroit drives down the field and gets a game-winning field goal. But that kept a drive alive, and then they ran out the clock.
Well, there was also the call before that.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the very end. Yes, Trey Flowers got screwed twice. He got jobbed twice. But there was like a minute 20 left, and they called him.
It was hands to the face.
Hands to the face, and it wasn't hands to the face.
Right.
And it kept – that was third down, and they didn't complete the pass. So that means Mason Crosby would have been in there to give them the 23-22 lead with a minute 17 to go. And I don't know if Detroit drives down and wins or not, but –
But my point, too,
they got hosed.
The first hands to the face call that wasn't a hands to the face call would have been also on third down.
Yes.
And they would have gotten a stop.
That
they
is
ended
correct.
Up getting a touchdown on that drive.
Correct.
So that changed things completely.
Yes. The two Flowers calls were horrible.
Right.
I mean, they Detroit got jobbed.
And I thought Booger McFarland was going to jump out of the booth.
Well, I mean. He's a defender. Think about the position he played, and he did all those.
I didn't have a problem with what he said.
No, I'm just saying, I also you could expect that from a guy who played that position and a guy that went through all. He knows what the trenches are like, man. The trenches are nasty.
Yeah.
They're nasty and they're gross. And you got to do it. There's a lot of crazy and weird stuff and bad stuff that goes on in the trenches. And you got to find an edge. And by the way, Flowers did nothing wrong.
No.
And he knows that. And he knows that, man. He's probably also a defensive guy that goes, man, the offense gets all the breaks.
Yeah.
And here again, the offense got all the breaks and the defensive guys get screwed. I've said for years, I don't know why in the world if you play football, you would want to be on the defensive side of the ball. Literally all the cards are stacked against you. Why?
I mean, it's and now in today's NFL with the officiating and how bad it's been, I mean, I wouldn't want it even more. Because you're not going to get anything to go your way.
I mean, were there bad calls in the Browns game? Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
But there's bad calls all over the league every single week. Like, really horrific calls. What do they do about it? I don't know. It's been bad for a long time. I've been screaming forever, make them all full-time and make them do that. Well, some of them are, and it's not changed.
Well, they know some of them were. They've abandoned the program.
Well, you're right. That's a good point.
They tried it, and they made some of them. But there weren't very many. Right, and they made some of them full-time, and then they're like, we'll just go back to the way it was.
Right, so now all those guys that made horrible calls or all those officials that made horrible calls this weekend, they're now selling timeshare in Jamaica today.
Yeah.
Or selling insurance or working for judges or attorneys or they have a case today or whatever. And you know what they're not doing? Trying to get better at the job on Sunday.
Right. And it's showing, and it's in some ways hurting the game. I mean, last night, the outcome of the game was changed, in my opinion, because of two really bad calls that should have been no call. And you even had, who was it? Is it John Perry or the ref that they have working for ESPN now? Mm-hmm. He was even saying, looking at the film, he was like, yeah, that's a bad call. So, I mean, when you look at it and it's clear as day that they missed the call, and didn't I hear them say that Trey Flowers had never been called for illegal hands to the face and then he got two?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
And so, you know what's going to happen. You know how this goes. The league's going to send a letter to the Lions saying, you know what? We messed up.
Sorry, guys.
Our bad.
Tell that to Matt Patricia if he gets fired. And that's a loss that should have been a win.
Yeah.
By the way, they would have been five straight wins in Lambeau Field for Detroit.
Yeah, and you know what?
How about that? Just think about that stat. The Detroit Lions. It's kind of like the Red Wings record right now.
Yeah.
It's like there's no explanation.
But that's what it is.
The Lions have been more poor than good in that little window. And they've gone into Lambeau coming into the game, and they had won four straight times. And it should have been, quite honestly, five. Five straight times at Lambeau.
Yeah, and Detroit would have been atop the NFC North.
Yeah.
So
there was a lot on the line for that game.
Yeah. So they have every right to be mad.
We'll come back. We'll talk to Teresa Walker. She covers the Titans and a whole lot of other teams, but we're going to talk to her about the Titans for the Associated Press. She is the AP writer. She's been doing it for a long time. We talk to Teresa next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks, Bubba. Appreciate it. Tonight, Preds in Vegas, 9 o'clock puck drop. I'll pregame for you at 8. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside Teresa Walker, Associated Press. Been doing it a long time. She also gets the first question at every Mike Vrabel press conference. And that first question yesterday was, hey, Mike, who's going to be your quarterback on Sunday? And he said, you know what? We're going to talk about it tonight and let the team know tomorrow. Well, tomorrow is today. Teresa, how you doing, and how do you think it's going to play out?
I'll tell you, Darren, I could make a case for both at this point, but I come back to this. One quarterback is being paid $20.9 million this year, and is still with his original team that took him at number two overall in 2015. And then the other quarterback is being paid $1.75 million on a one-year deal, and you traded for him from the Miami Dolphins, who, you know, they gave up on him after 7 years. So, I tell you, it's going to be very interesting to see how they make this choice. Because here's the thing, for all the fans who are wanting them to go ahead and go to Tannehill, I've seen enough. Go on. Well, that isn't just simply making a quarterback change. It's not the guarantee that you're going to have Kyle Allen going 4-0. It's not Teddy Bridgewater, guys, who, the only reason the Saints let him go is because of a horrific knee injury, and, they just got tired of waiting for him to heal up, and, it looks like the Saints absolutely got a bargain in him. So, the challenge is this. You don't know what you're getting. Let's not forget, on Sunday, Marcus Mariota was sacked 3 times, and, guess who was sacked more than that in much more limited time? So this isn't an easy decision. And, if you make this decision, this puts the Titans squarely in the quarterback market come next spring. And while everyone's just assuming that, oh, we'll get that next quarterback, this is the third different quarterback the Titans have taken within the first 8 picks since the 2006 draft. And if that would mean they're looking for a fourth. So obviously it's not that easy.
No, it's not that easy. I guess I understand both sides of the fence. I do. Chase and I are both on the side of the fence of why not just see what you have in Tannehill? I mean, yeah, we have the body of work in Miami, but we don't know. We have no clue what it looks like here. I mean, we all
behind
know.
Behind the line,
we,
it's given up 29 sacks, most in the league.
Yeah. I mean, it may look exactly the same, but wouldn't it be nice for all of us to come away next Monday and go, well, doesn't matter. 8, 17, pick a number. It's all going to look the same with this offensive line. I'd at least like to have that conversation rather than us just assuming that he's going to look exactly like he did in Miami his entire career. I said this. Was I blown away by Tannehill on Sunday? No, they didn't score any points. Nothing really changed. He got sacked 4 times. To me, it looked a little better because of he looked like he knew what he was doing. He looked like he was decisive. He looked like he knew where he was going. He had a plan. He looked like he was kind of, he was scanning the field. He was going through progressions. That's what it looked like through my eyes. What did it look like through your eyes?
Well, he was going up a defense that was playing prevent defense. They didn't produce any points. And, in fact, couldn't convert on 1 fourth down, had an interception on another 4th down when they were trying to get into the end zone. So on that scale, I kind of have to rate it essentially the same as Mariota's because, what looks better on paper? Well, he threw for more yards. The offense did go down the field a bit more. But again, against a defense that was, protecting the end zone and protecting a big lead at that point. So, take that grade with a bit of an asterisk is all I'm saying. And, I've been accused of being a Mariota apologist because I've seen some good things. I mean, yes, this offense is not good. They've struggled. I mean, when you look at the fact that only Cincinnati and Miami and there was one other team that have scored fewer points than the Titans through at least 5 games, that's not a good figure, especially considering that Cincinnati, Washington, and Miami, all those teams have 1 win combined between them. This is the problem, though. You've got Matt LaFleur is now the coach of the Green Bay Packers. He looks like he knows what he's doing. The difference is he's got a guy named Aaron Rodgers. The problem with the Titans, it feels like they're paying the tab for, going with a first-time offensive coordinator. And, LaFleur had not called a play in the NFL before last season. So, yes, he was coordinator the year before with the Rams, but it was Sean McVay calling all those plays. This year, Arthur Smith, as much as everybody likes him, players raved about him all offseason and the preseason, they love him. Well, this is his first time calling plays. His preseason, there were some weather issues. He ends up calling plays from the sideline, and it's like he likes that. Maybe it's time for him to go up to the booth and see how that works. But, guys, it just feels like this offense is paying a price, in the quarterback particularly, for the investment in first-time offensive coordinators.
Do you feel like the offensive line / offense can be fixed this season?
Well, the players in that locker room say it is. Corey Davis yesterday said it's self-inflicted wounds. We saw them put up some good points. Now, we're going to take it with an asterisk, the Cleveland game, and obviously Atlanta, because we saw what everybody else is doing to the Atlanta Falcons. But Delanie Walker, it's all fixable. A lot of talk about how guys need to look themselves in the mirror, and what that tells me is there's a lot of people who could be doing their jobs better, but it's the nature of the NFL that the quarterback, coordinator, the head coach are the ones who take the brunt of the blame.
Teresa Walker here with us from the AP, and I want to get your thoughts on Delanie Walker's comments on Twitter the team putting out about the, you know, the quarterback decision, and then he commented saying why you got to put that out there. What did you make of that?
Well, you know, who likes having business put out in public? But the fact of the matter is it's the NFL. It's a $15 billion a year, last time I checked, industry. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans have gone all in on trying to put out their own news. You know, when they hired Jimmy Wyatt, he was just the first of many that they've added to that, you know, to helping promote their story and their team. So, you know, sometimes you might think that's a story you stay away from, but they put it out there. I mean, everybody else is talking about it. And yes, Tannehill, Mariota, it's very clear. Why? Because Mike Vrabel said yesterday that they were going to decide by today who's going to be their starter on Sunday. So, you know, that's what they're into. You know, Delaney may not like it, but guess what? That it's not telling any secrets out of school to put that on social media from the team.
Do you feel like there's been a difference with him this year? I mean, he's not being used as much as he has in the past, and you know, he's always been outspoken. He's always been the one that we all as media go to because we know he's gonna say something. But I definitely feel like he's showing more frustration than he has in the past.
What, Chase? The fact that he said so many times, that's a question for the coach. That's a question for the coach. I'm just a tight end. I'm just a tight end. Yes, we've heard that an awful lot, and it does feel like he's frustrated. But you know what? They're 2-4. And while he is tied, I think, for the league, for the team leading catches with 21, you know, let's face it, it feels like he's just not been used the way he had in the past. Now, part of that you would say is because, well, Adam Humphries, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, but, you know, when the offense is not working, there's not enough catches for anybody. So, you know, one way to help fix this would be, and Delaney Walker said, he has to be better as well. So, you know, these guys need to go out there, make the catches when the ball comes to them, and you know, help move this offense down the field.
Darren said yesterday that the offense, you know, looks predictable at times, and whether that's the personnel or that's the play calling, you know, I think it's probably a combination of the two. Arthur Smith through six games, what's your evaluation?
Very incomplete. I mean, guys, I can't be the only one who sees on third down when Deion Lewis goes out there that they're probably going to throw a little short pass.
Holy crap,
right?
Scrap that play, please. For the love of football, please scrap that play. It's not
exactly
working.
Exactly, Darren. If we can see this, the guys who are paid to study film ad nauseum can certainly see this. So it's time to change up that offense, do some things differently. Now, they've had moments. You know, the pass to open the Colts game, 26-yarder, it was a fast read, fast throw, big hit, and what happens? Penalty on Taylor Lewan, pulls it back, and they start going backwards, and then the whole thing goes in the tank. So we've seen some stuff from Arthur Smith play calling to get this offense going, and then they hurt themselves. And I go back again to what Corey Davis said, self-inflicted wounds. So, you know, and I heard an awful lot in that locker room. It sounds like if guys seem to feel that if they're working harder, studying harder, and that's the thing. You know, the misconception about the NFL is that, you know, they go practice and, you know, they do this. You should be studying to be effective and to do your job the way you're being paid in this league. You need to be studying film on Monday night while you're recovering from the game, Tuesday, which is technically your off day, although how many times do we see these guys out making appearances, et cetera. Wednesday night when you're not in meetings, you have to do all the hard work. That's what makes Kevin Byard one of the best at his position, because he's one of those guys who's doing that extra work. You know, so you can look at that offense and say that, you know, I don't think we can judge Arthur Smith's offense for this reason. It's tough to see exactly what he could do. You know, that first half against Atlanta was really nice. I think everybody liked that. Problem is, it's such a short sample size, they need to do more.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Mike Vrabel has been supportive of his players, of his coaches. I know last week he was asked about Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, and he showed his support. At what point, though, do you think if this continues, if this trend continues, is he going to have to make a decision and a tough decision that he doesn't want to make and maybe make some sort of change to spark something other than the quarterback?
Well, Chase, exactly. I mean, you know, that whole thing, even though Mike Vrabel said last week that the players know who to block, to me, that's an endorsement of Keith Carter doing his job, making it very clear what they're supposed to be doing. And Roger Saffold last Monday made it very clear that he's struggling to adjust to this offense, to a mobile quarterback, and this isn't what he had played in for so much of his career. And he's given up a couple games with a couple sacks a guy who had given up a sack in a season before. So, you know, he made it clear he's part of the problem. Taylor Wan has said he needs to be better. So, but they're the guys who are getting very big paychecks. And those guys, as much as fans want to see something different, it's easier to change out coaches in the end than it is players.
Well, I got news from Mike Vrabel. If it's not his coach or his coaches and it's all the players, then really he's saying something about the general manager, because the general manager made some bad signings and overpaid for an offensive line that gets paid a ton of money. A ton. Look at their offensive line and look what it makes. And if he's saying this is all on the players, that they, you know, they're not doing their job, then this is also an indictment on the general manager, because they had no business being signed. By the way, Ben Jones just got a new contract before they started, what, sometime in camp. They got a new contract. So, you know, either way, I got news for him. Somebody has to take the blame. And if he's willing to look the other way and say it's not his coach or coaches, then he's directly saying the general manager didn't have some good signings, too. Whether he wants to say that or not, that's what it is.
I want to hear from the general manager.
But, well, hey, Chase and Darren, let's not forget, Roger Saffold was pretty much considered the top guard on the free agent market back in March. And what did we all say a few months ago that they had to fix? Guard. You know, they did. They changed out Quentin Spain, Josh Klein, invested a high draft pick in the third round in Nate Davis, who's now made two starts, and he also with Roger Saffold. So at a certain point, the expectation is on the player to play to earn the paycheck. So, but you're right. You know, John Robinson, at a certain point, the finger's going to start pointing to him, particularly if they are having to figure out who their next quarterback is this next offseason.
Appreciate the visit, as always, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Darren and Chase.
All right, that is Teresa Walker, Associated Press. She does a great job for AP. He's been doing it for a long time. We'll come back and discuss some of the things we just talked about, go a little bit more in depth on what we talked about for a bulk of yesterday's show. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Second hour, Rod Gilmore. We'll talk some college football with him. David Poyle. His weekly starts with us. Remember, every Tuesday at 11:15, that starts...
Well, we started it last week. But
today. You did?
Yeah. He came and sat down with us at Pete and Terry's.
You were under the knife, Mr. McFarland.
You were. He wanted an injury update while you were under the knife. So
it was an injury. I wasn't hurt.
Yep. He knew that.
Okay.
So he was...
Just to clarify, I was not hurt. I was injured.
He asked if he needed to... You know, start talking, you know, looking at trades or the waiver wire. And we said, no, we feel like it's going to be short term and he'll be back. So,
okay.
Good.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad it's already started. We're excited about that. Every Tuesday at 11:15. So that's some things on tap in the second hour. Mitch Light will be in studio with us in the third hour. We'll head over to West End at 1 o'clock. We'll also head out to Vegas in the fourth and final hour. So a lot more coming here on Tuesday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase. So I feel like, and I heard Floyd Reese on Morning Drive today, and he told the guys that he feels like it's going to be Mariota.
Now that I have taken
Teresa, what did you take? She seemed to lean toward Mariota, right?
Right.
Is that what I got out of that?
That's kind of how I took it. And I have the answer of what I think should happen, and I stand by what I said yesterday. I think now you need to take a look at...
Oh, I'm not changing my mind on what they do, but I kind of felt like... I knew we were on the same page, but I also felt like we were on the right side. Like, I thought, like, it's going to happen. Like, they're going to make a change.
Sure, because one thing we agreed upon was, well, you don't say you're going to have meetings about it, and then
you're just
going to tell the team.
Stay status quo.
But now that, you know, I've taken... time to think about it. I still think they should go to Tannehill. I think get a look at Tannehill, even with the offensive line. It's just at this point, you're sending a message to the locker room of, hey, we got to win. Nobody's position is safe. If you're not doing your job, then we got somebody that we're willing to try in that spot. And you send that message the loudest if you change the quarterback. With all that said, you listen to Floyd, you listen to Teresa. You think about the organization and how they've done things in the past. You go back and dissect the press conference. I wouldn't be shocked if they go back to Mariota.
Well, nothing was going to shock me.
But
I'm just saying.
Mean, now it's just like, can you trust them to do what they probably need to do, which is make a change? I can't.
Nobody says when you make the change that it's permanent.
No, I
Who's
know.
Who's kidding who? Well, I mean, why not just do it? And maybe they do. I don't know. We're acting like it's going to be Mario. Like we don't know what the answer is going to be.
And we don't know if they're going
to
tell us.
I did kind of feel like why would you need to talk about it tonight? Why would you need to inform the team today?
Right.
And then obviously they're going to get back on the practice field tomorrow if you were just going to remain status quo. Or is that just a nice way of saying, yeah, we're not changing anything, but we're going to present it like we're going to do a lot of heavy talking about this. We're going to do some real discussion about this. We're going to break down. We're going to have some charts. PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. How about that? Some graphs.
Is that what this is going to be? They're going to go in and with a PowerPoint of...
Going to bring in some analytic guys.
Yeah.
We're going to invite some pro football focus guys. We're going to talk until midnight tonight.
You think they're going to get a consultant?
I don't know.
You know what? All kidding aside, I think Mike Vrabel could use one of those, if I'm being honest.
Well...
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think that's
preferably
a bad idea.
A consultant who's been a head coach.
Yeah,
that would
in
be
the
nice.
NFL.
Yeah, that would be nice. So I don't know where they're going.
Bill Cowher.
Here's one thing that I will admit that has irked me since yesterday's show, because I've heard this a lot, and whether it's people are telling me this or I've listened, whether it's our afternoon show or morning show. Or people, even nationally, they've been talking about, the Mariota and Tannehill situation. Unfortunately, that's how the Titans get pub, usually when they play like crap and there's a controversy. And that's when the national media starts talking about them, right? This is something that is really, really starting to boil my blood a little bit.
Grind your gears?
Grind my gears. I don't want to hear about... providing Mariota. Maybe this is the spark. This is the word that really irks me.
Spark.
The spark. Marcus Mariota needs a spark?
No.
What? We're in four and a half seasons? He needs a spark? Like he didn't know what was on the line this year? Like he doesn't know what's being said? If he doesn't know, then he is in a cave. Give me a break. He needs a spark? Why does Mariota need a spark in season five? If you still need to give your franchise quarterback a spark or a prod or a poke, what do you want to do? Bring in Caesar Milan and sting him in the neck? I mean, what? Look, can we stop saying, hey, maybe this is the spark that Mariota needs to get things going? If he needs a damn spark, then you got the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got the wrong guy. If in year five, after everything we've talked about in this market and everything that Titans fans have been through in this market since he's been under center, and we're talking about going into week seven.
Yep.
And hey, maybe this is the spark that Mariota needs to get him going. If you truly need that, if you truly believe that, if anyone believes that, then you have the wrong guy. This is never, ever going to work. And I don't believe it's going to anyway. But I'm telling you, if we're sitting here talking about a spark in week seven of year five where he wasn't given a contract extension, everybody knows, everybody who has spent more than 2 minutes following this team knows what's on the line for Mariota. If he needs a spark or a poke or a prod or a wake-up call, then, man, you got the wrong guy. You might as well punt and move on right now because you got the wrong dude.
They got the guy that can punt.
They don't need a new punter. They got the best punter in the league. That word is really – I'm not going to say it. It's ticking me off.
Huh?
I was going to say the P word, but it's ticking me off.
The only time you've heard me use the word spark is about the team, because I don't care about Mariota at this point, because I'm with you. I don't think he's the guy, but you got to spark this offense. That's why I think you make a change, because it's just not working with Mariota under center. I'm not saying it's going to necessarily work with Tannehill, but that's what you got. I mean, you're not going to go bring anybody else in at this point. Tannehill's what you got. So you go and you put him in there and you see what happens. And maybe, just maybe, that does get something going, because you have, you know, you watch the small sample size from the Denver game with Ryan Tannehill, and you saw a quarterback that, albeit he struggled because there was no protection, he threw an interception. He could go through his progressions, though. He could go through his reads. There was just something different. And so maybe that triggers something with the rest of the offense. You won't know until you try, but I'm with you. You know, you can't spark Mariota at this point. You can't motivate him. He is what he is.
How about just motivation that they're 2-4? How about just motivation that he played like crap? How about the motivation that he makes 20-plus million a year? How about just all those built-in motivations? How about you're a professional athlete and your team needs a win? How about that for a spark? I mean, give me a break. Hey, maybe pulling him was the spark he needed. Good Lord. Tommy in Shelbyville. Tommy, what's up?
Hey, love the show. Man, my opinion, sitting back watching Titans for the past 20-plus years, I think it has to do with coaching. I've seen these guys play good ball, and I've seen this team get better as a group. I mean, as far as quality and talent on the roster, I just feel like we've got too many people coaching that hasn't really done it before or done it enough, and that goes all the way to the GM being new, the coach being new, coordinator being new. You look at our defense, and I give credits to the old cat that's done it before. That's Dean the only Pease. Part of our team that's good, and he's
– Well, he's don't leave out it. The other old cat. I mean, LeBeau and Pease, two guys that have been around the block for 150 years, and guess what? Guess what we haven't been talking about? The defense being a problem on their watch. To your point.
And that's my point.
Yeah, I get it. Well, hey, that's on the general manager. I mean, that's John Robinson. Right. He's the one who – this is his decision. This was his first really, really big decision. He chose to move on. They chose, as an organization, to take the next step, and that's fine. But they haven't taken the next step.
No. No, they've taken steps back. I mean, they just – let's be honest. They –
Well, for all the speaking of poking and prodding of the previous staff that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson did in that first press conference, how are those sacks going with Mariota?
Mm.
And they were going to do stuff. They were going to be creative and do things differently. Well, how's that going? Because I think he's on his back more on this staff than he was the previous staff.
Oh, I thought Russ Grimm had the offensive line in a much better situation than they are now.
Let's go to Dave down in the borough. Dave, what's up?
Oh, not much. Love you guys' show.
Thanks.
Real quick, you know, I can't remember who said it on the morning drive yesterday, but you were talking about a spark. And, you know, you think of a pitcher who gets the yips. You always think of Rick Ankiel, you know, who ended up just flaming out as a pitcher. And I think Mariota, they said it yesterday, he's just broken. I mean, he just runs. He runs up into his blockers. He chases ghosts in the pocket. And this guy, I just don't think he's got it really much for anybody anymore, and I don't think he needs a spark. I just think he needs a head shrink job is what he needs, and I just don't know if he's ever going to get it. And I think we already kind of know the handwriting's already on the wall. So I just feel bad for the guy because he's obviously hearing footsteps and playing against ghosts in the pocket. It's just kind of sad to watch. So you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Dave. I'll tell you something that I said, and good call. Something I said a couple of times that I think it was really not talked about enough. In this market, he's never been the same since the injury. And I know there's been injuries.
Right.
There's been a whole lot of more. I'm talking about the big one, the one leg. With leg.
Yeah.
He's never been the same. And look, he's a human being. And when you have horrific injuries and what he went through last year with the elbow and the tingling, you can't feel it. Look, nobody wants to walk in those shoes. That's not fun. Some of those injuries, they're scary. Nobody wants to go through that stuff. Don't tell me it doesn't affect. He's not a robot. Don't tell me he doesn't think about that stuff. Don't tell me that still doesn't affect him or couldn't haunt him. He has never been the same since that injury.
That's why I keep bringing up, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of this year you're not seeing him go, see ya, I'm out. Contract's up, doesn't get a new contract. I wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, that's basically what happened to Jake Locker. He didn't have the love of the game anymore, and he had battled injury. I mean, Andrew Luck, it's the same deal.
He battled a lot of injuries too. Yeah,
so
it just haunted him.
I get it. I mean, if he did that, I would stand up and say, hey, you know what, I applaud you for being honest and saying it. It's a tough sport. I mean, everybody that has either played it or watched it, they know that it's a brutal sport on your body. So I get it. If he's like, you know, I'm tired of getting hit, okay. But I think the whole there's ghosts, you know, and doesn't want to get injured again, and he's worried about that, I do think that's a real thing.
All right, we'll come back. More phone calls to close out the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Thank you, Philip. Go get a goal tonight in Vegas. Make it 5 on the year. It wouldn't be bad. That would be off to quite the start for Forsberg.
Did you hear last night that Ryan and I on Preds Insiders, we declared that the Preds have a top line. We just wanted everybody to know that we have made that declaration that the Duchesne line, that's the top line.
Yeah.
Really went out on a limb.
I was going to say, man, you guys put a lot of thought into that.
We sure did.
Wow.
You can't get that analysis anywhere else.
You guys should make sure you don't stretch too hard, patting yourself on the back for that one.
I can't stretch today after working out, so it's okay.
Wait a minute. We'll have to get into that a little bit later. By the way, we've got a very special announcement after David Poile today. We're very excited about. So be listening for that coming up at 11:30. Let's go in Smyrna, my neck of the woods. Let's talk to Alan. Alan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of questions to pose, and I'll let y'all answer them on air. But the first one is, would y'all really trust John Robinson to pick the next draft, the next quarterback? And also, would the next quarterback be successful under this current offensive line, this current offensive coordinator? Is there anyone in the building that has a sound philosophy in offensive intricacies? I'll hang up and take a call.
Alan, boy, you have come with a very loaded questions. Do we have enough time to answer all of that? Those are good. Let me just say this. Does John Robinson deserve to pick the next quarterback? Well, yeah, he hasn't. Yep. He hasn't picked one yet. So Marcus Mariota is not his. So we don't know his body of work when it comes to quarterbacks. Until he got Tannehill, I would say his body of work with backup quarterbacks was an F. It was a failure.
Right.
It's well documented on this show, my thoughts about that. Ryan Tannehill was quite the upgrade, but the previous two were Fs, backups. So does he deserve the right? Sure. I mean, we don't know whether he can get that position right or not. Now, the other stuff.
Well, let me ask you this real quick on that. Do you think he's done, in a lot of ways, his two big draft classes, I would still say, are incomplete. You're still, I mean, Derrick Henry, okay, feel pretty good about Derrick Henry. Conklin?
First round pick, man.
First round pick.
Traded up to get him.
Yeah. Corey Davis.
No. I mean, you fifth overall, come on.
Right.
I mean, if we're being honest, I mean,
but
fifth overall,
but
no,
do you completely say no, it was a bad pick?
No.
Because he's not living up to the fifth overall, or
does this once again go back? Does this all tied into the quarterback? Can you judge anybody because of the quarterback play or lack of?
Now,
I would say it's not fair to judge anybody, because let me just say this. I know it's real easy. It is the low-hanging fruit to rip this offensive line. Have they been good? No, they haven't been good. But are they as bad as everybody's making them out to be? No, I don't believe they are, in my opinion. I believe they're taking too much heat. Too much. Because I don't think the quarterback position is helping them. I don't.
Some sacks are on the quarterback himself.
That's no question. Let me tell you something. Mariota has a history. Once you get to him, you get in his head. I mean, we remember a year ago to this past weekend. I mean, literally a year to the minus a day. The Ravens game, the 11 sacks.
Right.
Don't tell me in the fourth quarter that was the offensive line. Come on. And he was going down. He surrendered that game. I mean, he was like, no moss. No more. I'm done.
So,
and quite honestly, Sunday looked like at times, even though he didn't play the whole game, it looked like it was some of this stuff is on the court. So it is a collection of maybe some of the play calling, maybe not putting people in the right spots. It's the quarterback. So I don't think you should pile on the offensive line as much as people have piled on, because I want to see other quarterbacks, because I know better quarterbacks don't always have the best offensive lines. We just never talk about their offensive lines. You know why? Because they're smart and they know how to go through progressions and pick up defenses and do things to help their offensive line when something bad is about to happen. And I don't believe that has been the case here for the last 4.5 years.
To answer the question, yes, I would trust him to draft a quarterback because I think his drafting has been much better than his free agent signings. The free agent signings is where I kind of go, I'm a little nervous because, I mean, Humphreys, and again, you can tie it all back into the quarterback, but I think the free agents you worry about a little bit more than you do than how he's drafted.
Let's go to Dennis up in Hendersonville. Dennis, what's up?
All right.
And Dennis just hung up. Thanks. He wanted to talk about the offensive line. Maybe we just answer it. Maybe he wanted to pile on the offensive line and then went, oh, maybe I don't know. I'm just saying, it's easy. It's easy to crush them right now, and I get it. They are giving up an alarming amount of sacks.
Yep.
But it's not just the offensive line, okay? I've said this many times over the years. Why don't we ever talk about Tom Brady's offensive line or Peyton Manning's offensive line? Because what, they've always had the best?
No.
Russell Wilson, he's always had the best offensive line? No. Far from it. Has he had good offensive lines? Yes. Has he also had bad offensive lines? Yes. Does anything change when Russell Wilson's under center? No. You know why? Because he figures it out. He helps his offensive line. If they're not as good, he helps them. And I think sometimes the quarterback needs to help the offensive line. I'm not sure that's been going on here. We'll come back. Rod Gilmore to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.